This morning, I would like to invite you to join me to begin with, again, in the book of Psalms and Psalm 6, the sixth psalm. Psalm 6. And Psalm 6, I'll get there with you. Just read one verse right now in this psalm, and then we'll go to Psalms 13. Psalm 6, and verse number 3. Psalm 6, and verse number 3 here in just a moment. Verse 3 says, "My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord," and the way that's worded in, you see it on the screen, and I've used the New King James translation, it's an abrupt ending when it was originally written. He didn't even complete the thought. It's like he started to say something and just stopped. So let me read that again. Verse 3, "My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord," and then he just asks, "How long?" Now would you go to the 13th psalm, please, Psalms 13, and beginning in verse 1. Both of these psalms were composed by David, Psalms 13, verse 1. "How long, O Lord?" One question. "Will you forget me forever?" Two questions. "How long will you hide your face from me?" Three questions. Verse 2, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" Four questions. "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Five questions. Right off the bat. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything. Maybe you've heard this, and I know people mean well. I understand what people mean when they say we shouldn't question God. And I believe the idea behind it is we're not to question God like we just demand that he explain himself and his actions to us like he needs our approval. So in that way, of course, we're not to question God. But who better to ask? Life's hardest questions and most difficult questions than the Lord. So, even the painful questions, David was hurting, but he brought those questions to the Lord because I've learned this over the years from scripture and just in experience, and maybe I'm sure you have too, many of you. That is, because we trust the Lord, we bring those questions to him. It's a sign of trust. It's not a sign of we don't know him. We bring him those questions because we do know him and we trust him because we believe he can help or answer in some way, even when he doesn't. So would you write this scripture down? I want to read it to you, and then we'll stay here in Psalms 13. But Psalms 62:8, Psalms 62:8, the Bible says this, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." I'd like to ask you to just really focus on this scripture this week. Maybe you take time to really just write it down, read it every day, think about how you can live it out. I want to do the same. And just so we're all on the same translation, would you join me in reading this scripture out loud, Psalm 62:8? Let's read it together. You ready? "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." So this morning, yes, Selah. Pause, think about that one a moment, was maybe what that means. So let me just, based on that scripture, let me give you the title of the message today, and this just be our theme. Trust God and tell him. Trust God and tell him. Trust God and tell him. All throughout God's word, people brought their questions and so forth to the Lord. So again, when we have questions for the Lord, I think we're in pretty good company. God doesn't condemn us for asking. That doesn't mean he always answers. But there's a purpose behind that. So trust God and tell him. Would you please turn to someone next to you and just tell him that? Trust God and tell him. Last week, we began a series of messages through the book of Psalms. I said we're not going to go through 150 Psalms, but we do want to hit several of them and hit the key themes as we go through. What an incredible scripture of just a collection of God has given to us here in this book of Psalms, because the Psalms are prayers and songs that express the full range of human emotions and a full range of human experiences. Whatever we face in life, we can find something there in the Psalms that we can relate to. And then how the issue is not just that we relate to it, but that we do what those inspired words really encourage us to do, and that is so that we pour out our hearts to God and trust Him in our life's experiences. So trust God and tell Him. Last week, I really focused on Psalms 1, that God's word is my guide. Psalms 1 and 2 really are like a gateway to all of the Psalms, the way they're collected. And just let me mention the website real quick, clmfamily.org, C-L-M-F-A-M-I-L-Y. There is a heading on there that says messages, and you can click that link and you'll listen to the audio if you want to. You can listen to it in your vehicle once they're posted online. So later today, God willing, I'll have this one on. But there's also a tab that says From the Pastor, and I think I took a screenshot here from last week's notes, and it says, how did it word it? God's word is my guide. So if you look at that, that's a picture, a screenshot of my phone. So if you use the website, clmfamily.org, you can see my notes that I use on Sunday mornings right there, okay? So if it's a help maybe to go over through the week, you can review it. Today is already on there, so you can follow along with that. I just want you to know it's a resource that's available to you that I hope to plant and water God's word, that we could all grow in it and bear fruit, because Psalms 1 talked about how to be blessed, fruitful, and prosperous doing the Lord's will, and that is the key, being fruitful for Him. So let me just mention one. For those of you who pick up the Word for You Today devotionals, we buy them and put them here for you to have. Yesterday's talked about our thoughts. It says, think godly thoughts. And there were studies that estimate that we typically think between 50,000 and 70,000 thoughts a day. 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And of course, a lot of them are just habitual. But this is what the psychologists or whatever that study this say, psychologists, a wandering mind is an unhappy mind. A wandering mind is an unhappy. So that's why the Psalms 1, when it says, if you want that type of life, we got to meditate and think on God's word day and night. It's a lifestyle. And day and night can even represent spiritual times where when I've got the light of revelation, I'm meditating. But when I'm going through the dark seasons and I don't understand anything, if I still do it, God will bring me out successfully for His glory and staying close to Him. But this is the part I really wanted to give to you here. The Cleveland Clinic estimates that 80% of our thoughts are negative. That means 48,000 negative thoughts a day. And our lives go, oh my goodness, our lives tend to go in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. Do you see how important it is to meditate on God's word and to get this? That's why it's nothing wrong with bringing those questions to God. Bring them to the Lord, because that still helps us focus on Him. So going through this, so let me give you just two, I guess, categories of what we can tell Him. You say, well, trust God and tell Him what? Psalms 13, let me read those two verses once again, 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Let me just pause there. The first category, trust God and tell Him my problems. Trust God and tell Him my problems. This word came to me this week because I was trying to think of how to word it. So I looked up the definition, and then after I read the definition, I said, yeah, that's, I think that's what I was looking for. Trust God and tell Him my problems. Because this is the definition, and again, it's on the website. It's on there if you want to see it. But if you want to write it or take a screenshot now of it or a picture of it on the screen, here's the definition. It says, a question raised for solution. So there we are, question. When we ask the Lord a question, we're looking for an answer. We're looking for some concern, or we're looking for a solution. But it also says a problem is a source of distress. Anybody ever have? I mean, that just comes with life, doesn't it? Or a difficulty in understanding or accepting. That one really stood out to me too. A difficulty, because isn't that what a lot of our questions are about? We don't Lord, and we don't understand in our limited understanding. It's not just we have a hard time understanding. Sometimes we just have a hard time accepting. So trust God and tell him it's all right. He's not scared if we bring him our questions and those tough questions. And again, we don't understand it all, but I'll say it once more. Throughout God's word, we learn of people who brought their problems. They brought their questions of all kinds to God because they believed that God would answer or help in some way. Now, if you drop back to Psalm 6, we'll give a little context to that. Psalm 6, beginning in verse 1 this time. It says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. And then verse 3, my soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Now, the context of this, if you keep reading, it even says that he wet his pillow at night with his tears because of what he was facing. And some believe this may have been, he cried out to God this way, said, don't correct me in anger, but be merciful to me, because it was written in the context of sin. And that he may have sinned, and David was going through some consequences for his actions, as is typical. And there are other psalms that talk about some of his sins and the words he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he needed God's forgiveness. So he said, don't rebuke me, don't cleanse me. But even when he experienced the consequences of his choices, David knew where to turn for mercy and forgiveness and for strength and grace. This is what the scriptures, that's important. Let me go back to that. Because when we fall, we can feel so condemned that we don't want to come to God. And that's the exact opposite of what God wants. That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can experience mercy and experience healing. He said, heal me. Heal me on the inside. And if I got something in my body, I'm looking for you to heal me on the outside. So this is, if you drop down to verse 8 now, Psalm 6, verse 8, the Bible says this, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Again, he knew where to turn, didn't he? And then verse 9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. He was confident. So he started off in pain, and he started off with questions, but he said, you evil workers, y'all can just depart from me. I know you want to see me fall, but God's gotten me. He's heard my prayer. He gives me mercy. He gives me grace and forgiveness and healing so I can testify for him. Now back to 13, Psalms 13. Because in Psalms 13, it wasn't in the context of any type of sin that we read about, at least. And this is what it says, Psalms 13. Again, I won't take the time to read all those five questions, but David's circumstances made it seem as if the Lord was hiding from David when David needed him most. Can anyone relate? When you're going through such a hard time and you're calling on the Lord and it seemed like he's hiding from us. He's not, but it seems like he is. And so what did David do? He brought those questions. He just poured out his heart. I love that scripture. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart. And I love this because David was real with God. He didn't try to sugarcoat. He didn't put on like we might pray a public prayer. He was real. When somebody was attacking him like the lion, he would say, break their teeth, Lord. Now, you don't have to pray that. The idea is don't let them succeed. Because we know who walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, don't we? So he was real with God, and he struggled with his faith and his feelings. He struggled with his doubt and his circumstances. He really believed in God, and he knew God could help him, but everything within him and everything around him seemed to be just the opposite. It was like, Lord, you're hiding from me, and it's all against me, and I do believe, but yet I doubt. And I'm struggling here, going through these hard times. And then, let me keep going here. Would you look down at verse 3, Psalm 13:3. Consider and hear, O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Bring the sparkle back to my eyes. Revive me, Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about when you said someone's eyes light up, right? This might also represent his heart. But he says, Lord, just enlighten my eyes. Now, let me read you a scripture. You can turn over to it if you want. We'll come back. But Psalms 19:8 is a related verse of Psalms 19:8. And it says this, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Want God to light your eyes up? Go to his word. Go to his word. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the people, when they went through these hard times, the prophets and psalmists and the followers of Jesus, they went to God's word because he says God's word can bring joy to our hearts and it can bring light to our eyes of faith so that even when we don't see how it's going to work out, our focus is on the Lord and he is my light and my salvation. Trust God and tell him. Trust God and tell him. So the truth of God's word, again, can bring joy and light. And then verse 4, back in Psalms 13. Psalms 13, 4, this is similar to Psalm 6. He says this, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. If it's not bad enough that we've got to go through life's hard circumstances and we've got to face struggles. It sometimes seems like we're on our own and we don't know what to do or where to turn. It seems like God is not moving the way we want or as fast as we want. If that's not bad enough, we have an adversary. He's called the accuser. He condemns us when we're going through those times, which all the time he does. He mocks us and he slanders God to us because when we're going through those times, here's what he says. See, you can't count on God. You can't trust him. If he loved you, you wouldn't be going through this mess. So why don't you just live your life and go on? Yes, he is. That is one good thing about, if it comes from him, he's the father of lies. But do you see why we need to know truth? So that when those, again, we're going through the hard time, bringing, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you moving? I'm hurting here. I don't understand. It's hard to accept. And then I hear the accuser condemning and all of my failures and every time I fall and it's just so discouraging. And Lord, we have to turn to him and not away from him and turn to his word. And when we don't know all the whys, let's at least know the who. As he reveals himself to us in his word. And then if you look at this scripture in, again, Psalms 13, if you just drop down. Well, I tell you what, I'll give you this second point in just a moment, but I need to say this. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Brothers and sisters, God is our safe place. Don't, please, let's be real. Let's just bring it to the Lord. We're having thoughts of revenge and anger, immoral, we're whatever it is, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's not like we're going to pull one over on him. The Bible says he knows our very thoughts and the motives of our heart. So let's just be real and bring all of that to him. He can handle it. Remember what he said? I care for you. You can bring it to me and cast those cares because I'm for you. I do care. And this is what I've found. I've learned it, again, scripture and experience, that even when we don't have our prayers answered or get all of our questions answered, how we want, when we want, some questions in life won't be answered. The issue is not whether I get all my questions and prayers answered. The issue is when I pour out my heart to God and trust him, it draws me closer to him. And he's the source of all that is good and all blessing and all virtue anyway. And if I have his grace, I can face whatever it is without the answered questions. I can just trust him. Trust God and tell him. All right. So trust God and tell him my problems. And then second, trust God. Don't stop there, right? Don't park there. Trust God and tell him my praises. So trust God and tell him my problems. But let's also trust God and tell him my praises. Again, we praise the Lord because we trust him. We bring our questions, we bring our problems to the Lord because we trust him, but we also bring our praise and our gratitude and our worship to the Lord because we trust him. Let me read these two verses. They're in Psalms, again, same Psalms 13, kind of our theme for this day text. And then verse 5, let me read these scriptures. Verse 5 says this, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." I love the tenses of this, past, present, and future. So again, I have trusted in your mercy. That word mercy means goodness and loving kindness. It's based on a relationship. It's covenant mercy. So he says, I've trusted. I know you, Lord, and you've been faithful. So I have trusted in your mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord future because he has past dealt bountifully with me. Has God ever been faithful to you? Have you experienced his goodness and his blessings? So he says, go ahead and pour your heart out. Tell him your problems, but tell him your praises too. And if you need, see, even if we're just starting to walk with the Lord, if you do it, if you'll walk with him and stay close to him, you'll develop a little track record. And you'll look back and say, God was faithful. I didn't see him here, but he led me all the way. I thought I was alone in that dark valley, but he brought me out. So it wasn't just, it's past, present, and future. And so he says, I'm confident, I've trusted. That's what trust means. I rely on it and I'm confident in him. I rely on him and I'm confident in his mercy and his goodness. Again, relationship. David started with his problems, but he pressed on with his praise. I'm gonna say that one again. David started with his problems, but he pressed on with his praise. And we can praise through doubt. We can praise our way through anger. We can praise our way through fear. We can praise our way through the problems and through the questions because we can actually, as David says in Psalms 18:3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. We can praise our way to victory. We sing a song sometime. There's a line in it that says, in the valley, I know that you're with me, and surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. Amen. So trust God and tell him my problems, tell him my praises. And let me just read this again, where it's verse 5. Again, Psalms 13, 5. I have trusted your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your Yeshua. The Hebrew word is almost identical to the name Jesus. His Hebrew name is Yeshua. This is Yeshua. I think it's one letter. He says, I'm going to go ahead and just, how did he say it? He says, I'm going to trust in your mercy, your covenant love and kindness to me, and my heart shall rejoice in Jesus. He is our source of rejoicing, right? He says, rejoice in the Lord, is what we're told in the New Testament. And then verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Brothers and sisters, God's word is true, and he is true. And the Lord is with us, and he's working in us, even when it seems that he is not. So that's why, do you see this expression of trust and faith? Trust God and tell him. And then he says, let me just give you two last scriptures if you want to write them down. I'll just read you this from Job, Job 23, and then maybe you'll join me in Romans 8, and we'll close there. So let me give you the one from Job chapter 23, and then if you turn to Romans 8. How many of you are familiar with Job? He went through, that's why I say we can relate to people in the Bible, because he lost 10 children in a storm. One storm took out all 10 of his children. He lost his business, his prosperity, he lost his health. He was covered with boils and he took broken pottery and scraped them just to try to get relief. So Job had some questions. Because we first read about Job that God was bragging on him to the devil. He was a righteous man. He was a godly man. But he went through a hard time and he questioned. But this is what, maybe again, just we can relate. This is what it says in Job 23, 8 through 10. Look, I go forward, but he, God, is not there. And backward, but I can't perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I can't behold him. And when he turns to the right hand, I can't see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, I don't have all my questions answered, but I know this, my Redeemer lives. And one day on the earth, in my flesh, even after it decays in my body, I'm gonna see God. So he didn't have all of his questions answered, but God never condemned him for the questions. In fact, God at the end of Job, he said, oh, you got some questions for me? Let me ask you a few. And he just asked Job a few questions just about the wisdom of his creation. And then Job just said, my bad. I'm just gonna sit here and put my hand over my mouth. I don't have anything else. I don't need any more questions. No, I'm good. But it says not only at the end of Job, but in James chapter 5, we see the patience and perseverance of Job, but we also see the end intended by the Lord. Questions not answered, but God was faithful to bring him through and gave him double for his trouble. 10 more children, doubled his losses, restored his health. And whether that happens in this life or not, God is faithful. And we're gonna enjoy the riches of his blessings forever if we know him, and that's the key. So let me read these last two verses in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, 31. Trust God and tell him. Would you please just say that to someone next to you once again? Trust God and tell him. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? All hell may seem like it's against us, and they are, but that's all right. If God is for us, does it really matter? And then verse 32, the scripture says this, he who did not spare his own son, this is my default scripture. For me personally, when I don't understand or I'm hurting and questions unanswered and circumstances seem painful, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's why I said, when we don't know the why, we can trust the who. Do you know him? That's the key. Do you know him today through faith in Jesus as our sinless, crucified, and resurrected Lord? The only way that we can get to know him. Let me read that last verse, 32 in the Passion Translation, and we're done. Romans 8, 32. The Passion Translation words it like this. For God has proved his love by giving his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. He's not holding out on us. He's a good father. He wants to bless us, but he knows that the ultimate blessing comes by being in close fellowship with him and doing his will. So I'll close with this. Do you know him as Lord? Do you know Jesus? Has the Holy Spirit drawn you to that place of conviction of sin and saying, I know I've sinned, I've broken God's laws, but I believe he loves me. And I believe that the sacrifice Jesus paid of his life's blood on the cross paid for every sin I've ever committed or ever will commit. And he conquered death 3 days later. He'd already defeated the devil and sin. And right now, I call upon Jesus to save me. I confess him as my Lord. And you begin walking in newness of life. And then for all of us, maybe even those we know him, will you trust him? And will you get to know him better? That's the key. The better we know him, the more we'll trust him because we've discovered that he's faithful. He's a good God. Trust God and tell him my problems, but trust God and tell him my praises. Will we do it? Amen. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the communion table in the Lord's presence. Lord, we thank you today. In fact, let me just, before I pray, I'm only asking out of concern. I understand if you don't want to raise your hand, it's okay. But is maybe would anyone say, Brother Rocky, I want you to pray for me right now because I am in a question. I've got questions for the Lord and I do want to trust him and bring them to him to intervene. And I just want somebody to agree with me in prayer today. Is there anyone here who would just say, Brother Rocky, would you? Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much for your honesty. Lord, we come before you right now because we do believe in you. We do trust you. We know you can answer every question, even what we can understand anyway. And we know you can help. So right now, we just help us to pour our heart out to you. Maybe we need a little just alone with Jesus time and just pour our heart out to you, trusting you healing us, Lord, trusting you forgiving us, trusting you for wisdom and grace, whatever it is. Lord, trusting your timing. I admit, Lord, that's a hard one for me sometimes. I believe you, Lord, but I do, you know that. I'm just being honest here. Sometimes I would like to see it answered faster, but I want to just rest in your goodness, Lord. I do believe that you order our steps as we submit ourselves to you. So, Lord, draw us to yourself, draw us to your will, and as we just pour out our heart and problems and praises, help us to praise you, to confess your word, to confess your greatness and your faithfulness like David. We might start off in pain, but we're going to end in praise. We can start off with questions and doubts and we wrestle with them, but we're going to end up in victory because you're for us and not against us. So have your way in every single life and situation, family situations, health concerns, finances. Oh, Lord, wisdom, direction. We invite you in. Say we trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.